I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
He kōna I purangi tēnei nā te reo irirangi o Aotearoa.
They say life is stranger than fiction.
And so he kicks it and it lights up because it absorbs the energy and absorbs the vibrations. She tells him to kick it again. And so when he kicks it again, he goes flying backwards because it has absorbed the energy. Similar to a capacitor, actually.
But sometimes what we see in movies or read in books is so incredible that it obviously couldn't be possible. Or could it?
The woman picks up a gun and she shoots him three times with the shield, you know, and he holds it up and she says, yes, I think it'll suit. If you go fully bulletproof, if we do bulletproof vests, you're typically talking about not anything metal.
Welcome to Sci-Fi Sci-Fact. I'm Brian Crump, and this is a podcast where we take science fiction's strangest ideas, weirdest elements, most unfeasible plot drivers, and explore if they could actually happen in real life. Maybe they already have. And in every episode, we bring in a scientist from New Zealand's MacDiarmid Institute to explain the theories behind some of fiction's more fantastic flights of fancy, if any theory exists. In this episode, MacDiarmid Institute Associate Investigator and Physics Lecturer at Victoria University of Wellington, Krista Steenbergen, gives us her scientific take on vibranium, a fictional metal appearing in quite a lot of Marvel comics.
No associates. You haven't struck her out a lot of friends.
Well, these people are all horrible.
Wait, I know that guy. From back in the day, he operates off the African coast, black market arms. There are conventions, all right? Meet people, I didn't sell him anything. He was talking about finding something new, a game changer. It was all very Ahab.
This?
It's a tattoo. I don't think he had it.
No, those are tattoos. This is a brand.
Oh, yeah. It's a word in an African dialect meaning thief in a much less friendly way.
What dialect?
Wakanada Wakanda.
This guy got out of Wakanda with some of their trade goods. I thought your father said he got the last of it.
I don't follow what comes out of Wakanda.
The strongest metal on Earth.
It sounds impressive.
It's
vibranium.
Quite an impressive material by the Marvel comic movies. I have to say I watched the movies and not the comic books, so... But yeah, it's an incredible material.
What does it do?
So, many, many things, but completely bulletproof, absorbs all vibrations. So in the newest, or not newest, in a Black Panther movie, they make some shoes out of it, and the guy can creep. She calls his sister of Black Panther, makes them, he calls them sneakers because, you know, they're shoes and you can sneak around, you know, very quietly because it absorbs all vibration. That's also part of the thing with the bulletproof. So you can make a shield. Captain America's shield is made out of vibranium. And it absorbs energy and then can retransmit the energy. So it absorbs and holds the energy and then can retransmit the energy later.
Well, like a giant capacitor kind of thing.
Yes. For probably a little bit more, at least the way they make it seem in the movie, mechanical energy.
As you're opposed not just to, electricity. But
yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Captain America, that's the one where he kind of puts on the suit.
Yes,
isn't it?
The completely obnoxious.
Who plays that again? I've forgotten his name.
Chris
now.
Evans.
Chris Evans plays Captain America.
Yes, in the newest. I have to be careful because I'm only familiar with the newest. I don't know if there's old ones or not, but in the ones that have recently come out, it's Chris Evans.
And does he wear it? Or does he have a shield of it?
It's the shield. So he has the shield, and then there's this other character called Black Panther, and the Black Panther has a suit of the vibranium. And then there's also another character, Ultron, who has a... Actually, I think Ultron might be actually made of vibranium, like he may have actually been crafted from vibranium because he's a...
Is he a robot?
And
he,
well,
a Borg?
He's artificial intelligence come to life. So yes, a robot, but like not in the old-fashioned view of it, in the new-fashioned, you know, sci-fi view of it, where it's actually a almost human-like
yes.
kind of a thing. So
does he have a conscience?
Yes, this is the theory. So in one of the movies, they show this, you know, neural network kind of a thing. It's like a brain, and that's obviously supposed to be him.
Give me an example of vibranium in action.
So one of my favorite scenes is, I don't know if maybe I should describe it, but so in, I think it's the first Avenger, Captain America, the first Avenger, he's looking at different types of shields that he could have, and he sees the vibranium one, and he says, oh, this is really cool. He picks it up, super lightweight, and he says, you know, the Tony Stark is describing to him, or Mr. Stark is describing to him what the properties are. He says, oh, I wonder, you know, what do you think to this woman that he's just pissed off by kissing another woman? And the woman picks up a gun and she shoots him three times with the shield, you know, and he holds it up and she says, yes, I think it'll suit. So it's a spectacular. I think that's one of the reasons I really like the movies is because it's this nice mix of fancy, you know, humor, fanciful humor and, I don't know, action, superhero action. So another cool scene, in my opinion, is in the Black Panther movie. His sister creates this suit. It's fashioned of a vibranium mesh, and she tells him to kick it. And so he kicks it, and it lights up because it absorbs the energy and absorbs the vibrations. And then she tells him to kick it again. And so when he kicks it again, he goes flying backwards because it has absorbed the energy. Similar to a capacitor, actually. If you supercharge a capacitor, a very big capacitor, and you were to touch it, you would probably be thrown backwards. You hope you would be thrown backwards from the
electrical. Not just killed,
exactly,
electrocuted.
Exactly. Yeah. So
being thrown backwards would be the lucky option.
Exactly.
Now, what we like to do on Materials Fact or Fiction is go looking now for examples of vibranium which might exist in real life equivalents. So shall we start off with the bulletproof stuff? That seems like the easy stuff to me.
Yeah, it should be. So if you go fully bulletproof, if we do bulletproof vests, you're typically talking about not anything metal. Metals are typically heavy, and they usually don't stand up to all types of bullets that you could have. So if you were to look at something like titanium, which is a metal, it is somewhat bulletproof to certain caliber weapons. I've been watching YouTube videos all day, which are of people who shoot at pieces of metal, which isn't exactly the most intelligent thing you can do, but yeah, and so titanium will stand up to lower power weapons as a metal. Generally, your bulletproof vests, though, go to a polymer or a ceramic, and the way that these work is that they, if you have a ceramic, it fractures, so it dissipates the energy of the bullet by fracturing, so it transmits the energy of the bullet into a fracture, structural deformation in the fracturing. If you have a bulletproof vest that would be much more like Kevlar, it's typically a polymer mesh, and they usually will both deform and also spread out the energy because of the mesh, and it usually will deform the bullet before the vest will deform.
Now, ceramic suggests something basically made of clay.
Yes, I think there are some very... I actually know a lot less about ceramics than I do about metals, but I think they have come up with some unbelievably incredible newer types of ceramics that would be mixtures of different types of, so much, much beyond the simple clays, I think, anymore. So,
and a polymer?
The polymers are just simply sort of like plastics, right, honestly, but the vests would be made of meshes. So it's not just a, you know, a piece of plastic like you would see in your... what do you call those things in your refrigerator that hold food? Tupperware. So you can't think about Tupperware. You have to think about something much more along the lines of sailcloth.
Sailcloth I've not heard of before.
Ah, for sails. For like sailboats and...
Oh, you sail.
Yes. Yes.
Right. Holy Our accents kids. Are getting the better of us. I'm sure the listeners understood you better than I did. Sailcloth.
Oh,
as in... iceberg dead ahead sailcloth.
Yes,
yeah,
yes,
right.
Very much so.
Okay, but the thing is, this vibranium is a metal, and you've just
yes.
told me, and this is, I wasn't expecting this, that actually the best, so the bulletproof properties of ceramic and polymer are actually better than metal. It's not just because they are lighter. They actually are better at holding back a bullet than metal is.
Well, it's the transfer of the mechanical energy. And essentially, if you think about a metal, it's not very bendable, right? And you need something that's going to deform or fracture. And obviously, if a metal fractures, you've probably pushed it a little too far. So if you go to titanium in these, it will, you know, deform and withstand a bullet. But if it takes the, what I've read actually is that if the titanium takes two or three of the hits, it starts to really, really become unstable as a metal sheet. And then you will get another bullet, even of a low power weapon, through it. So you can't really count on these metals. Something like steel would be quite a bit more resistant to bullets, but it's super heavy. So if you can imagine trying to wear this or carry it as a shield, you don't want a steel shield because it's just ridiculously dense. And so the titanium is sort of that middle ground. It has an incredibly high strength to weight ratio, but it's also wouldn't.
But after the third shot, he would have been dead.
Yes.
And the wife would have had to have chosen, or girlfriend.
Yes.
Would have to have chosen a different boyfriend and a different suit.
Yes, exactly. Terrible. So,
is it possible that such a metal could exist in theory?
It would be
something on the periodic table we haven't discovered or manufactured yet.
So that would be the interesting thing. I think that it would need to be an alloy. Because the pure metals we know their properties. We've tested their tensile strengths. I'm sure someone out there has tested them for how bulletproof they are. And so, you know, of these pure metals or of the alloys even that we know, we're not going to have anything that has vibranium properties. But having said that, we are absolutely still working constantly to come up with new materials. I would be remiss if I did not mention one other material. It is not a metal. But it's graphene.
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 I'm assuming that's got something to do with carbon.
It has to do with carbon. So it's graphite, but a single sheet. So graphite is multiple sheets of graphene. And graphene, and also if you roll it into a little tube, carbon nanotubes, which some people know about, these are some of the most phenomenal materials in existence.
These are sheets of carbon that are one layer of atoms thick.
One layer of atoms thick.
Yeah.
They form this honeycomb pattern, so they bond in an interesting way. And they have quite literally the highest strength to weight ratio of any, I won't say of any materials because we have quite strong materials, but it has, the strength to weight ratio is phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal. And so I was reading something that if you have a sheet of graphene, so a single layer of carbon atoms, it can hold an elephant. So if you could make it big enough. And so there are manufacturing difficulties with making these sheets, but they are working on making these sheets so that they can be used in different types of applications. So you
what do you make of it? What kind of rolling pin does that?
Yeah, precisely. Well, we can do it. We can do it in flakes actually quite easily. So if you take pencil lead, this is the phenomenal thing, right? Pencil lead is graphite. Well, actually, I have to be careful. At least a few years ago, pencil lead. If you take a pencil and you kind of make a kind of draw on a sheet of paper, and then you were to take a piece of normal sticky tape and put it down and pull it up, you could pull off a sheet of graphene. But obviously, it's, you know, in this certain environment, and it may be one layer thick or it may be two layers thick and so on and so forth. But it's actually the getting it to be a coherent sheet where it could be an actual material is a work in progress, but they are working on it.
This question just occurred to me, which is if graphene, one layer of carbon is so strong, why aren't several layers, many layers, so strong?
In the graphite form, I believe it has a tendency, well, actually, I think even in the graphene form, you have a tendency to form islands and flakes, I believe. But I have to be careful. I'm less familiar with graphite as I am. I've done a lot more studying, or not studying, but looking into graphene. And then if you roll it, like I said, into like a carbon nanotube, you can get these phenomenal, carbon nanotubes are phenomenally high strength to weight ratio as well, actually.
So maybe Marvel Comics was behind the game and still fixated on metals, because you got to acknowledge that comics, they're pretty big on the metals, aren't they?
Yep, most
they
definitely
love their metals in the
most
comics.
Definitely.
They absolutely love them.
Yep.
In fact, isn't there a comic series called Heavy Metal? I'm sure there is. But maybe actually the solution to some of these problems for the superheroes, I want something that's bulletproof and I don't know, can hold energy and then release energy. And what was the other thing? the absorption of vibration.
Yep.
So could graphene do those two things?
I was trying to look this up, actually. So the vibration absorption is one of those properties that's a little bit more interesting. You tend to go, when you go with vibration absorption, you tend to think much more of rubbers and plastics. So graphene actually, it doesn't really dissipate. It's called damping. When you kind of take the energy out of oscillations, you damp the oscillations. So graphene actually is not spectacular at doing that. I think you would have to have some kind of composite material in order to make that happen. But it could be a graphene and then a composite with some kind of polymer that might do it. I'm now making stuff up. But in and of itself, it's not spectacular, the vibration damping. But for things like the bulletproof or the strength of this material, it is absolutely phenomenal.
Okay. Graphene wins on the bulletproof stuff.
Yep, most definitely.
Right. Forget about the metal there. It's not even a metal.
Nope.
That's the equivalent to vibranium.
Yep.
But what about the absorption? Is there anything, vibration absorption, is there any metal that could do that? Seems to be like that's the last thing you'd expect a metal to do.
It goes back, you definitely don't have anything metallic that's going to have the same damping properties, vibration damping properties, as you would have in a polymer, a plastic or a rubber. If you were to go that route, I was looking up, it actually is called gray iron. And it's a mixture, I believe, it's like cast iron. And they use it as the base of some heavy machinery that has quite a bit of vibration where it needs to be quite strong, but also absorb some of the vibration as well. So that would be the direction you would want to go for the vibration absorption. But having said that, you know, if you're going to soundproof your room or these studio walls, right, you're definitely not using a metal because metal tends to be brittle. It tends to not be very bendable. And you want something that's quite pliable in order to damp the vibrations, to absorb and then dissipate energy. And so,
vibranium being a metal is slightly off the mark. If only they thought of something. It seems to me you'd more likely at the moment if it was some kind of polymer that could do both the absorption and the bulletproof business.
The very, very, it could definitely go that direction. I mean, if you had a mesh, the polymer mesh of some sort, and then also to absorb the vibration, it would be quite a special property, I think, to do both, you know, because when they do something like the bulletproof vest, they're much more concerned about dissipating the energy than they are, you know, killing sound. But yeah, you could think about something going that direction that would be a hybrid of both.
Now, speaking of energy, this is the thing that actually I find most fascinating, which is the ability to absorb and then release energy, not just electrical energy like a capacitor, but kinetic energy. What might do that?
Oh, my goodness.
Was that asking too much of the laws of physics?
I can't come up with anything that I can think of that could absorb and store, and then re-release that mechanical energy, as you're saying, like the kinetic energy, a material that could end up doing that. I think the capacitor to me is the perfect example of the thing that would store the energy and then re-release it. But this is, again, electrical energy. I think you'd have to be thinking about something that takes something mechanical, converts it to something electrical and stores it, and then can re-emit it. And if you're now talking about that, then you can go back to the electrical things that are good for capacitors, you know, types of metals that store.
The thing that comes to mind in terms of ability to take in one form of energy, store it, and then release it in another form is the good old leaf on a tree.
Yeah, most definitely.
It takes on the energy from the sun, releases it in the form of chemical energy, doesn't
most
it?
Most definitely. Yep, it certainly does. Yep. And we actually have, there are exceptionally good researchers who are doing research on artificial leaves, which is some of the premier research going on in the world today, in my opinion, for renewable energy, I should say. Justin Hotchkiss, who I know you've had on your show before, he actually worked very closely and I think continues to work with one of the lead developers in that. He's a gentleman named Dan Nocera. He was at MIT. I think he's now at Harvard. And he is one of the premier people coming out with this artificial leaf. So we can actually somewhat synthetically mimic now photosynthesis, which is what
you're talking about. How close are we to achieving that goal?
He has achieved it, actually. So what he's doing is he's achieved it to a certain extent. So he has the artificial leaf that can run a fuel cell. And I believe the last time I checked in on this, he was at a stage where he could put it into production and they were talking to investors and so on about actually getting it mass produced. There were a couple hang-ups in the chain of production, but
like maybe one artificial leaf costs about $1 billion or something.
Actually, it wasn't that. They had really focused very hard on keeping it low cost
because the trees do it very low cost.
Yes, very, very low cost. Exactly. No, I think that it was there were a couple things that were going wrong with the semiconductor material that they were using, because it's in an environment that's quite saline, and there are some things that can degrade and so on and so forth. So I think that that was one of the issues. But really and truly, they've made huge progress. And the wonderful thing to me about what they'd done, at least in Dan Nocera's lab, was that they had focused on low cost so that they were really focused on trying to get it into places like Africa, third world communities, where it could do the most good, really. So, yeah, and have it be low cost and also quite robust. So.
Well, Krista, it looks to me like vibranium is a bit of a fail in terms of finding real-life equivalents. For a start, it's a shame they made it the metal. If they'd made it something else, it might have worked better. But it's not really the best metal, perhaps, for bulletproof stuff would be some kind of titanium alloy, maybe?
In my opinion, yes, yeah. Probably. For the lightweight, something you could carry for long distances or a shield or something like that. I mean, again, you don't want steel as your shield, right? So, yeah.
But otherwise, it's ceramics or polymers for bulletproof vests.
Yep.
In terms of absorption of vibration, metal, again, isn't apart from that gray one, cast iron soot mixture.
Gray iron. Yeah.
But otherwise, you again, probably be going for something that's either rubbery or a polymer.
Yep.
Again, some form of plastic, so it doesn't work there. And then finally, the ability to absorb one kind of energy and release another. Well, a leaf does that.
Yeah.
Now, you know, I said before when it takes in the energy from the sun, the radiation from the sun, and then it converts it to chemical energy. Is that a reasonable kind of assumption as to what's going on with photosynthesis?
Justin is so much better at this than I am, Justin Hotchkiss. But yes, I think what you just said is a perfect explanation. Yep.
But if you look at time, not from a human perspective, from a deeper perspective, actually trees do have a lot of kinetic energy. Think about the amount of movement involved. You go into the bush and you sometimes see how a trunk, a root, has grown through a cleft in the rock and it's split the rock open. That's kinetic energy, isn't it? But it's just over a period of time that's much greater than us mere humans can normally cope with.
Yep, an incredible period of time. Yeah, there are some things in nature that do amazing things. Yep, very much so.
So nature won, Marvel Comics nil.
Yes, very much so.
But they're still a good show, right?
I think they're phenomenal. And one of the things I actually like about the sci-fi and the Marvel Comics is the fact that it helps us dream. And even as scientists, you know, we can look at this, we can say, probably not any metal that's known or metal alloy. But, you know, can we do this? And how could we do it? And it helps drive things forward, I think. So, you know, there's nothing wrong with the creativity of coming up with something that doesn't yet exist, but let's see what we can do with it. So, yeah.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Sci-Fi Sci-Fact, hosted by me, Brian Crump, produced by Andrew Robertson, and, of course, made possible thanks to the incredible knowledge of those brilliant scientists at the MacDiarmid Institute. You can find more episodes of Sci-Fi Sci-Fact on the RNZ podcast page. RNZ podcasts are also available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or pretty much wherever you might find your podcasts. And make sure to follow us so you don't miss out on any new episodes.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.